Morning, Frontier.
Morning.
All right, so since we've been having mic problems, I just want to check real quick. All right, so we're good. Amen. All right, so every time I'm given an opportunity to speak here at Frontier, it's really an opportunity for me to actually sit back and humble myself because, you know, when you're walking in newness of life, when you're brought out of darkness and you're called into light and you're born again and you're walking in newness of life, you know, the Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times. And I'm not perfect, man. And I've done some things in my Christian life where I just feel so humbled to be up here and to be privileged to actually speak and bring a word for our God. So that's just how I want to start off. Most importantly, we do want to bring honor to Bishop Steve Yates, to First Lady. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says to obey your spiritual leaders and to respect them. So we are to bring honor to him, man. He is such a humbled man of God, such a man of wisdom and knowledge. And he's been such a great teacher for me. So I honor you, Bishop. If you're watching, I honor you, man. All right. So I just want to also, don't let me forget this, boy, I'll be in trouble. I want to tell my wife how much I love you, baby. Bless my wife. She's amazing. All right. So I want to start off. So I'm trying to be not so eager because I'm like, I just want to go, but I'm trying to just patient myself. I want to start off in the book of Psalms chapter 90 and I want to read verse 1 and 2. So if you can get this on the screen, I'm not going to turn around and look at it this time. I'm going to drink this lovely water that everyone talks about. All right, so I'm going to read it. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. It says, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth or ever before you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So throughout the whole Bible, we see throughout history that God has always been our dwelling place. And even before he formed the world, he still was God. So today I want to talk about a dwelling place for our God. What is the dwelling place of God? You see, God created the whole world in 6 days, but it took him 40 days and 40 nights to instruct Moses about the first tabernacle, the first dwelling place that God would dwell with his people. Okay, so I want to get this on the screen. We're going to start off in Exodus, and that's amazing because that's actually our monthly study book now. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 25. I don't mean to bring you all the way to the end of it, but Exodus 25, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Just to give you a backdrop of where we're coming from. Okay, so God made a covenant with Abraham through his descendants. All his offsprings would be circumcised. They would be considered the children of God, God's people. So Abraham gives birth to Isaac. Isaac gives birth to Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. These 12 sons make up the tribe of Israel. They were in Egypt. They were released into the wilderness of Sinai. And now here Moses is at the foot of the mountain and God calls Moses, because Moses led him to the wilderness and calls him up on the mountain. Now the Lord says to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they may take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you will receive this contribution. So God is telling him he wants these people to give them a contribution so that way he could make, we're going to go down the verse, I'm going to skip to verse 8. It says, and let them use this contribution to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. So, all right, I love how Bishop does this. Bishop can read 2 sentences and then he has his whole sermon right there. So I want to point out some things in this section of scripture. All right, so first of all, I want to point out that God says, he says, let's take bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarns, fine twine linen. He's saying gold, silver. Like, what's that show you about God? God has taste, man. Come on. Our God has taste. He has flavor. Come on. That's our God, right? All right. Now, I want to point something else in this section of scripture, right? So it took him 40 days and 40 nights to give Moses these instructions and these elements of what he wanted to construct his dwelling place of. It took him that long. So obviously this place, this tabernacle that these people were going to make had some significance, some kind of importance to our God. See, God made man in his likeness, is in his image, man. God has feelings. He has emotions. He has a character. He is our Father, right? So another thing that I also want to point out, because this just spoke to me and I feel like it's on my heart to tell it, because God says, he says, speak to the people of Israel, and in every man's heart who moves him shall give a contribution to me. See, for me, I love to talk about Jesus, man. I don't care where I'm at. If people are there, I'm going to tell them how much God loves them. I'm going to tell them that Jesus died for them and that God has a plan for their life. I spent 27 and a half years of my life living in the world separated from God, and nobody never come and tried to bring me the love of God. So I'm going to bring it to other people. And I had a man tell me one time, I had a guy tell me, he said, oh, I seen this guy. I was at a store. He's sitting in the car. I know that he was getting high. I could see it because I've been around it for years, man. I was the worst druggie that you could ever imagine. And I seen him and I said, man, my heart just was moved for the guy. And I said, hey, man, hey, he's sitting in his car. He's like, yeah. I was like, can I walk over there? He's like, yeah. So I walk over there. I'm like, hey, man, I just want to tell you, man, that God loves you. He's like, oh, well, if God was real, then why does the church need so much money? So what do you say? What do you say there? First of all, that's a lie from the devil, man. That's a lie that the devil uses to make you think and question God. It's called earthly wisdom. It's called the wisdom of man. Because we view God in the world. We view him from our own opinions, our own way of thinking. We have no understanding of who our God is. So look, first of all, God says, from every man whose heart moves him, let him give me a contribution. God didn't demand nothing. He said, if you felt moved, y'all can take a contribution. He wanted them to give him this contribution so that way he could come and have fellowship with his children, man. Come on, that's amazing. That's so good. Now, I gotta catch back up right here. All right, so God uses this contribution to create this dwelling place, right? So he tells him, make me this tent of meeting so I can come. I want you to take acacia wood and make me a chest. And I want you to get an altar and get these linens and these fragrances. And I want you to come and make this place so that way I can dwell in this chest. I want you to overflow this chest with gold. Because God has taste, man. Come on. And he wants them to build this tabernacle. Right now, watch this. So God is he's building this tabernacle, right? Now, so there, let me catch up. All right, so they're in the wilderness, right? They're building this temple, right? So out of the 12 tribes, God speaks to Moses and says, hey, I want you to take the tribe of Levi, all right? And I want you to take the sons of Levi, which Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And God says, I want you to take these three sons, and through their sons, I want you to make clans. And I want you to take these three clans, and I want them to be on every side of the Ark of the Covenant and of the tent of meeting. So when you read the scripture tells you that through the nation, through the tribe of Levi, there was 20,000 people that was on the inskirts around the Ark of the Covenant. And then he said, take the other 11 tribes and let them sit on the outside of this tent of meeting. So now we have 603,550 people on the outskirts of the tribe of Levi. So you just got to picture this. Put yourself in the wilderness. You have this massive amount of people that have no place to go. They're in the wilderness with their God, and that's all they have. Come on, put yourself in that situation. When I came to God, I had nothing, man. I had no car, no house, no home, nothing. Nothing, man, but I pursued him with nothing. Now watch. So as you watch throughout history, throughout the time of the Bible, we see that the Philistines and the Canaanites and all these enemies, they come against the nation of Israel, and they're always, man, someone's always trying to come against God. Something's always trying to stop God's people from going forth. And we see that the Ark of the Covenant is actually stolen from the nation of Israel throughout history, but then they receive it back. So these people in this Ark, in this temple, they have no dwelling place, no resting place for this ark, for God's people. Now bear with me while I walk you through this, because I'm getting to a point. Just let you know. All right. So now, as time goes forward, God appoints the son of Jesse, David. He appoints him as king. All right. He's anointed as king. Now, David is a man of honor, right? He's a man of integrity. He's a merciful man, right? See, when I said that we need to respect Bishop, this man respected God's anointed man. He had a King Saul. King Saul tried to kill him so many times, and he said, "Let me not touch the Lord's anointed, because touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Come on. So King David, he was a man after God's own heart. King David reigned. He actually reigned over the nation of Israel as king for 40 years. The Bible tells us that he reigned for 7 years in Hebron, and for 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And he was coming to the end of his reign. And God, and King David found it in his heart. He said, "I want to make a dwelling place, a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant of my God. So that way my God can have a temple so we can come and we can worship God in this temple." Right? But God, what's God do? God says, no, "You're a man of war. You've shed blood. You can't build it. Your son has to build it." Now, how would that hit you? You just served him for 40 years, and you fought off all his enemies, and he said, no, "You can't build this temple." Come on, man. There's so many people in the church nowadays that if you say something, you do something wrong, they take offense to it, and the devil uses it to draw you away from the church. It's a deceitful scheme from hell. Listen, the Bible says in Jude that in the last days there will be worldly people devoid of God's spirit who will cause divisions in the body of Christ. Come on, man. Don't let anything that anybody says or does stop you from coming and worshiping your God, man. Don't let the devil deceive you. Man, the enemy is clever, man. And if you don't get inside the Word of God and you don't understand the truth of the Word of God, then you can't expose his lies with truth. Jesus said, "My sheep hear and obey my voice, and the strangers, they will not obey." But if you don't get inside this Word, man, the devil will straight deceive you, man. Straight liar. So now look, so David says, "Hey, Solomon, the work, you are young, and this work for you, it's hard for you, so I'm going to give you some of my treasuries." And David gives all his gold. He says he had a secret stash of gold. He starts contributing this contribution so that way these people can build a dwelling place, a temple for God. So they're building this temple, and all the nation come together and they give all this stuff that they need to build and construct this temple. And if you realize this, if the church needs money so we can have a place of building to worship our God, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. So they build this temple, right? Now from David, there was 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile. From the Babylonian exile, there was 14 generations to the Messiah. So that's in Matthew chapter 1. So now we have Jesus Christ, because the temple was established in Jerusalem, right? Now, I want to read out of John chapter 4. So we have Jesus, right? Jesus is born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's conceived through the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He's born. He's 30 years old when he starts his ministry. He's baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. He's filled with the Holy Spirit because he's the firstborn among all of us, right? So he walks in, and John chapter 4, I'm gonna go to John 4, and he's passing through the town of Samaritan. Now watch this. This is so good, because I'm trying to bring this to a point. All right, now listen. John chapter 4, the woman sees him, The woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And the woman says, "Who are you? Why are you speaking with me? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." See, in the Hebrew culture, you had to be circumcised to be considered actually a person, a child of God, one of God's people. So the Samaritans and the Gentiles and all the people that are around them, they weren't circumcised. They weren't considered God's people. So Jesus said to her, he said, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming." Let me go. Go back one. Okay, so Jesus starts to tell this lady about some things about her because he knows everything. He's all knowing God. And Jesus says, she says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," right? Because he knows things about her. She says, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, but Jews, you say that Jerusalem is a place of worship because of the temple that Solomon built." So that's where they would come and worship God, right? Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know." People in the world don't know God because they don't have spiritual wisdom. Come on. He says, "But the hour is coming and it is now here," because Jesus was coming to establish his new way of worship. He says, "It is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Come on. The Father is seeking such people. All right. Now check this out. So whenever Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was resurrected for us, right? Now watch this. I want to go. So after he was dead, Paul wrote the New Testament. Paul and the apostles, they wrote the New Testament, right? Now watch this. This is another lie I want to expose from hell, right? You go out there, you have people in the world that'll say, "Oh, yeah, well, if God was real, then why did man write the Bible? Why did man write the Bible?" Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says all scripture is God-breathing, given by inspiration from God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says no prophecy in scripture was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All the scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, man. Come on, that's a lie from hell. That's another lie that the devil doesn't want you to know. He wants you to think that God ain't real. He's a liar, man. Straight up liar. Now look, I'm going to go Ephesians. Let me get back on point. All right, now watch this. You guys ready? God is good. I'm telling you, I'm trying to expose the devil right now, man. He's a liar. He's a liar. Stop listening to the thief's voice and listen to your shepherd's voice, man. The devil's a liar. All right. Therefore, all right, so this is Paul writing to the Gentile church, the Gentiles who had just been grafted into the body of Christ because they weren't always allowed to be chosen people of God. He says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by us who are called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That would be a sad place to be at. You don't want to be in the world without God. Come on, man. You don't want to be out there. I was lost out there. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." Come on. He redeemed us. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances." He says that he might create in himself one new man. New covenant, New Testament, right? He says, and reconcile us both to God. Now watch this. I'm going to skip down. It says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members in the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It says, in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. So now, Frontier Church is a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Look what it says. It says, in him the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you believe the gospel, you were filled with the promised Holy Spirit. When you received Jesus into your life, you were filled. Now you have a seed. The Bible says in 1 John 3, any man who has been born of God can no longer keep on sinning because God's seed abides in him. Now watch this. If you don't get inside this word, that seed can't grow. And the Bible says in Matthew 13, a farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. He says, but then the cares and the worries of life come and the devil snatches that seed out of their hearts and they never produce a fruit. Listen, if you don't get inside this word and you don't begin to read, then you will never be able to expose the devil's lies, and he will deceive you and he will steal that seed out of your heart, man. I'm telling you the truth. The Holy Spirit is so good. Nick, I seen Nick before I started service today. I was talking to him. He was telling me about some things that he did wrong, some things that he messed up on, and he felt like he couldn't come back to God. That's a lie from hell. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, man. Listen to me. The devil will make you feel guilty. He will make you feel ashamed. He will make you feel like that you cannot come to church. Listen to me. The Bible says in Christ Jesus, we can boldly enter into the presence of God. Boldly. So, Nick, I want to share the testimony. So I'm sitting there talking to Nick, and I feel like this impression of pain in my left shoulder. This was before service started. And I said, hey, man. I said, you have pain in your shoulder. He said, yeah, man. I said, your left shoulder. He's like, yeah, dude, it hurts. I said, let's pray. Come on, man. Move that shoulder, man. Ain't no pain in that shoulder no more, man. God is good. He's good. So good. I love it. I love the Bible. I love the gospel. I love Jesus. I love the church. Listen to me. When David was constructing that temple, you know what David did? He began to praise God. And he began to praise him and say, God, thank you, God, for the contribution. Thank you for everything that the people are giving. Listen, we've had AC problems. We've had foyer problems. We've had money problems. Man, the devil's a liar. He's trying to stop Frontier from growing, man. He ain't nothing but a liar. David said, Oh, that your people would have a heart to give like this always. Listen, the reason the church needs money is so we can keep this building, so we can continue to come and worship our God. And we need to have a heart of unity, a spirit of unity in Frontier Church, where we can continue to grow by the Spirit and live by the Word, so we can inherit eternal life together, man. We're a family, and God is good, man. And I don't care what anybody says, I look like a fool for the gospel. Listen, hey, I'm telling you right now, 3 years ago, I was a full-blown needle junkie strung out, but the Bible says God uses what is low and despised in the world to shame the wise, and he's using me, and I'm thankful for who he is, man. I'm thankful for my God. God is good, man. Man, the devil ain't nothing but a liar, man. The Bible says that he's a murderer, a liar, and a father of lies. The scripture says in 1 John 2:27, it says, you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives in you. So you don't need anybody to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. The devil is a liar, man. Jesus said the Spirit of truth will lead you. He said in Matthew 11, he said, come to me, all of you who are wearied and burdened down by life. Don't let life speak louder than this truth, man. Life will try to, it'll deter you, man. He'll use your circumstances, your situations, your finances, man. Satan will use all that to stop you from getting in this word, man. Straight up deceiver, man. It's good, man. All right, so I don't want to keep rambling on because I'll just go. But God doesn't need our money. It's a contribution so he can dwell among us, man. It's a contribution so that way we can come, we can learn who our God is, we can learn from our God, so we can receive spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that way we can learn the difference between good and evil. The Bible says that in 2 Timothy that all scripture is for training in righteousness. Every single one of us were born into sin, and without God's word and without his commandment, there's no knowledge of what we're doing is wrong. So we can live in the world and be deceived, man. God wants us to live by his word so we can learn to live by the Spirit of truth. So that way we walk in a way of righteousness so we can inherit eternal life, man. That's what this is for. It's for us to grow as a family so we can just be at peace. God said, I want to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen to me, man. I didn't even have my money for rent this week. I didn't have my money. But you know what? The Bible says, do not worry. It says, seek first his kingdom, man. God, the devil wants to get your mind on that so you can't proclaim this, man. That's a lie, man. I don't even care about that. God knows all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will provide. He's my provider, man. I ain't afraid. I'm never gonna die, ever. I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. As long as I walk by the Spirit, there ain't no condemnation for me, man. Praise Jesus that he fulfilled righteousness for me. He's good, man. All right, I'm gonna say one more thing and then I'm gonna close. And I have two calls. Bible says in Numbers 11, when Moses was out there, all these people, man, they were complaining. They were murmuring about the food that they had. God was providing for them. They were murmuring. They were complaining. And Moses, man, you picture, you have one man. Moses is leading 603,550 plus 20,000. He's one man. And he's out there, and it says that Moses is burdened. He's burdened by this, and he says, God, why are you giving me to carry all these burdens? I'm here to tell you today, Bishop is one man. He's one guy, and he ain't meant to maintain your peace. You can't always rely on the next church service to allow you to maintain your peace. Come on, man, he needs you. Bishop needs you to get in here so you can be equipped. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, their job is to equip us to do the work of ministry. You can't always rely on Bishop, man. We need to give that man a break so he can maintain better peace. Come on, man, because that man loves God. He's a good man. And he's led me well. He's trained me well, man. I'm here to destroy the works of the devil, man, because of him. He's good. It's good, man. So good. All right, so can we get some keys going, buddy? Amen. Jesus. Because Holy Spirit is going to come. He's good. He's already here. He's in here. He lives in us. He's a good, good shepherd, man. And he loves us. He's so good. Man, he's good. Jesus is so good. So, I want to do a call today. All right? I remember the apostles and the disciples would charge people. I charged the church today. I charge you in the presence of God, Almighty God, because the Bible says that whenever you're proclaiming God's word, that my conscience is accountable for each and every soul in this room, each and every person, every word that you hear me say, I'm accountable. So I don't speak nothing if it don't come from truth, because the word is truth. So I charge you, church, today, whoever's here, if you're living in hypocrisy, if you're not living right for God, if you're still following your flesh, do a call for rededication, man. Let us get in this word and let us all grow. Let not bishop and let not so many, there be such a select few speakers who proclaim God's word. Come on, because all of us can do this, man. If I can do it, you can do it, man. I'm telling you, 3 years ago, I had nothing. I was a full-blown junkie. Full-blown, man. The Spirit of the Lord gives you freedom, man. And He'll help you maintain that freedom. God loves us, man. And we are a dwelling place for His Spirit to come and be among His people, because God is love. He loves us. So I do a call for rededication. If with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I do a call for rededication. And God, even if it ain't, God, I thank you, God, that you let me come up here, God, that you consider me worthy, God, for you have made me sufficient to be a minister of your new covenant, God. So God, I thank you, God, that if there's anyone here today that has never received Jesus into their life, that you would raise your hand. If you would receive Jesus into your life. Amen. Okay. Please stand. If you're here and you feel like that you do want to rededicate, that you feel like that you do need to spend more time in your word, I would love to just say a prayer for you, man. If anybody here would want to rededicate, I invite you to come here so I can pray for you right now.